Amidst the torrent of headlines about Flint's water calamity, it's way too easy to lose track of the long history of that city. And there are powerful and poignant lessons to be learned in the way rich, vibrant neighborhoods were taken apart and plowed under, all in the name of development. Communities like the old St. John Street neighborhood. Charles Winfrey grew up there. Today, he's executive director of the new McCree Theater. Charles Winfrey, welcome to the program.
It is my pleasure.
Charles, this St. John Street neighborhood is really seen as a prime example of urban renewal that did just the opposite. It really gutted and depleted the city, didn't it?
Yeah, I guess you could call it urban renewal run amok, because it really just displaced families, uprooted them, you know, took them away from their familiarity, their relationships. It did a lot more harm than it did good.
And we know the city in 1972 started buying property and moving people and businesses out from the St. John area. But I want to go back to well before that and get a sense of the history of this neighborhood. First of all, just where is the St. John Street neighborhood and how big, how many blocks are we talking?
Well, simply put, it stretches from Hamilton Avenue on the south to Stewart Avenue on the north. And it was bounded by the Pier Marquette Railroad on the west and the Flint River on the east. So it was a small sliver. It was an international community. It housed immigrants from Hungary, Turkey, Yugoslavia. Of course, the Native Americans were already here, African Americans. It was truly originally an international community.
And what did it come to mean to the black community as the 20th century wore on?
Back in that era, as General Motors began to grow and to seek labor, of course, more and more African Americans came from the South in search of work. However, once arriving in Flint, they were relegated to only a couple of places, you know, where they were allowed to either rent or purchase property. And one of those places happened to be the St. John Street area, and the other was on the south end of Flint, the Floral Park area. They had very few choices as to where they could live once arriving in Flint, you know, to take advantage of the labor market.
So it's fair to say that it was the heart of Flint's African-American community.
It was. It was a very thriving community. You know, it was a self-contained community. You didn't really have to leave the community to get what you needed, you know, for your everyday living.
And you grew up there, and I'd love to hear, Charles Winfrey, some of your favorite memories of the St. John area. Let's hear some stories.
Well, you know, it was probably the most memorable part of my childhood. Of course, we were dirt poor, but, you know, when you're having fun, you don't really know that you're poor. You sort of overlook that part of your history because you're really, you know, enjoying yourself and having fun despite the poverty. But it was a place, you know, where I frolicked. And one of the things that St. John had that a lot of other communities didn't have was the Fairview School, which sort of served as a hub, you know, for the community. And they did more, you know, than just educate the students. It was like a community center. Families gathered there after school. They really took care of the students. They fed us breakfast. My memory is that the teachers were very caring. And I can remember Mrs. Odell Broadway, who was the home economics teacher. I was a very skinny kid, so I guess I looked malnourished. So she sort of embraced me and began to take care of me. She made sure that I ate breakfast every morning and before we went off into our classrooms. And St. John, it was so colorful. I mean, it was dynamic. I mean, there was something happening every day.
I would imagine, Charles, a colorful, dynamic community has some colorful, interesting characters.
Oh, yeah. We were living in an apartment building, and across the hall from our apartment was this lady that they referred to as Slap God Almighty. Legend has it that the way she got her name is a police officer, I guess, stopped her on St. John Street. And she asked him, well, you know, what are you stopping me for? And she sort of, I guess, slapped him, you know. And the police officer said, what did you do that for? I'm a police officer. Don't you know who I am? She said, well, I'll slap God Almighty. And so the name sort of stuck. And from that point on, people just referred to her as Slap God Almighty. I mean, there are a lot of other colorful characters. There was Pawn Shop Shorty, who was one of the homeless people in the neighborhood. But he didn't seem to have a care in the world. It was just full of, you know, exciting characters.
And we know then St. John Street was in the way of what was seen as urban renewal plans. And starting in 1972, the city of Flint started buying property and moving people and businesses out. I saw one figure, 1,470 separate parcels were bought or condemned for that neighborhood. What did they do then with that neighborhood, Charles?
Well, the plan, number one, the expressway 475, you know, was going to cut through portions of the St. John Street area. And secondly, they wanted to construct an industrial park. So that was the rationale behind the removal.
I've got to imagine, when you think about the neighborhood you knew growing up and you look at what was lost when the city came in with its urban renewal plans, where that sign that said demolition means progress, what do you think was lost? I mean, what did losing that neighborhood do to not only to Flint, but we saw the story repeated, say, in Detroit in the Black Bottom neighborhood and other Rust Belt cities with vibrant African-American neighborhoods?
Well, you know, you lose your connectedness, you know, and that was one of the things that was really unique about the St. John Street community. Everybody knew everybody. There was a connectedness throughout the area. And it stretched from Hamilton Street to Stewart Avenue. You know, I could go through now and name people who lived on every street. I can still name everyone who was in my sixth grade class. You know, it was that kind of relationships, I mean, profound relationships. People helped each other. You know, no one really was hurting for anything, because people shared, they had a sense of camaraderie. It was such a unique, warm and heartfelt community. And, you know, we had our problems. You know, people would carouse and, you know, there was prostitution. But that was all part of the flavor, you know. And it was all, you know, part of that whole St. John dynamic. You know, we didn't differentiate. I mean, they were part of the community. So that was lost. And I think, you know, I can't remember ever having the kind, and maybe this is just my childhood speaking, but I can't remember having that kind of relationship in any neighborhood since then, you know, and I've lived in several.
Do you ever let yourself wonder, you know, what if that neighborhood, the St. John Street neighborhood, had stayed rich and strong and intact? How do you think Flint might be different today?
Well, you know, that's a complex question, because on the one hand, the housing, you know, when we moved in, the housing was deteriorating. Some would say it was substandard. The General Motors plant was pouring soot over the neighborhood, damaging property, and I'm sure people had all kinds of COPD problems. I know I had an uncle who was a tuberculosis patient because of that, and there was a high incidence of tuberculosis and other asthmatic types of illnesses during that time in that area. You know, so there was some negatives, but I think if the EPA and others had did their job, and if the city had did their job and instead of displacing people, you know, tried to build a community up, people would have been a lot better off, and it would have been less traumatic, you know, for people who called the St. John Street area their home. But then you had the other forces, you know, mitigating against that. Like, there was a big push for integration, a big push for, you know, integrating the public schools. You know, you had a lot of things that were converging that makes it very difficult, you know, to give a, you know, any type of pat answer. I'm still convinced that removing the people was bad, but then you have all these other forces, you know, that you have to take into consideration.
Charles Winfrey is the executive director of the new McCree Theater, and as part of the Neighborhoods Without Borders Tendaji Talk series, he'll be taking people this evening on a tour of his old stomping grounds, the St. John Street neighborhood. Charles, you've made it very rich and very alive for us. Thank you so much for giving us a preview of what you're going to be showing people tonight on the Tendaji Talks tour.
Thank you. It's been my pleasure.